Some like 80s looking font.
Yeah.
Construction bullshit with Jeff and Jeff.
Jeff and Jeff. There you go.
All right, y'all. This is the Prophet Dig Radio Show. Don't let us down.
It's the Prophet Dig Radio Show with Jeff and Jeff.
All right, so Jeff Spencer, what are some common engineering challenges that you face on different construction job sites?
Well, there's a that's a pretty broad aspect. And I'm going to back up a little bit. You know, for several years now, I've said that if you're going to be an engineer and a civil engineer and design construction sites, you should have to spend a minimum of 5 years working in the field before you design one. And case in point is, like, you know, you have several jobs you're doing throughout the year and it never fails. You got issues, it doesn't work. You go to the engineer and you talk about it and they're like, well, you know, they show you on paper how it works, but it doesn't work in the field. And there's a disconnect there between the contractor and the engineer, because a lot of times you can't make the engineer understand why he may be at fault or he's designed something that doesn't work, but he's not going to take responsibility for it. You know, in his mind, he's giving you something good that's good to work by, and 90% of the job may work according to his design, but there'd be one item that just may not work, you know, just because it's not designed the way it should be.
Is that because they're not receptive to the fact that they don't want to listen to you? Maybe they don't think that you're capable of describing those issues, or maybe they're too busy to bother themselves with them?
No, I think it's just... it's not really ignorance, but it's ignorance to the point of not laying hands on it. You know, not being in the field and getting a physical experience to see, you know, why these issues, you know, may be something they could do different if they understood what it looked like in the real world. And it's tough to get an engineer on site a lot of times too. And the engineer itself, if you request a site visit, 9 times out of 10, they're going to send someone else out. That's under them. You know, they're physically not going to make that visit themselves. And as time goes on, you see it more and more, because the guys that go to school, they get educated to be an engineer, and they start design right off the bat, and they never have anything as far as a real scenario to see how a job actually goes in that they're actually designing.
Do you have any control over the engineers that are responsible for those sites?
No.
So you're just at the mercy of whatever hand you're dealt.
Well, it's a kind of a catch-22, because the owner or whoever you may be working for, it may be a municipality, it may be a GC, it may be, you know, whoever is flipping the bill for this, they're the ones going to incur the cost. The engineer's got a set rate. They get a design rate, and then they get a percentage rate based off of what the monetary amount of that project is to oversee that project and make changes. So we do what we call change orders. When something doesn't work in a field because of poor design or something that was missed in the design phases, the owner has to flip that bill. And in my opinion, it shouldn't always be on them. If it's a poor design or the engineers didn't look at it, or architects didn't look at it, you know, correctly, they're never at fault. But the owner has to eat the cost to make those changes. Mm-hmm. And every contractor the same way. When you bid a job, you got a certain amount of overhead and profit figured in this project. When it comes to change orders, you inflate those rates because it's aggravation to you and to your company and your employees to have to go back and do your job 2 or 3 times to make this one item or multiple items, you know, work out.
Do they have the opportunity to deny those change orders?
Yes, they do. But there again, you know, you're back in... they don't really deny the change orders. They have the opportunity to deny the monetary amount. Mm-hmm. Because the change orders are coming about because it will not work based off of design.
Mm-hmm. They're beholden, or at least required, to at least meet the minimum specs in that job.
Yes. And the way I look at it is, you know, if they want to bucket my price and don't agree with it, they've got every right in the world to hire somebody else to come in. But 9 times out of 10, they're not going to seek that route because you're already on site, you're under contract, you're doing the work. Mm-hmm. So most of the time they're going to have to meet your conditions to get the work done.
Is that engineer usually assigned by the general contractor on the job or the architect?
Well, it depends on how the job is structured, you know, as far as from the owner through the architect through the engineer. They kind of delineate, you know, who's in charge and who makes those decisions. But ultimately, it goes back to the owner, you know, whoever is paying for this project. They're the ones going to have to incur the cost.
Do you have any sort of system of determining, you know, like, this is an engineer that I like to work with, like just history with them, or?
Oh, yeah, I mean, sure. You know, there's a lot of engineers out there that I prefer to work with, and there's a lot of engineers out there when I see a set of their drawings or blueprints come across my table, I dread it right off the bat. If I get this job, I know it's going to be a hassle most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to inflate your margins, like, just to account for that?
No, not really, because it's a competitive market. I'm bidding against other people, so I've got to stay competitive. But I know that there's a really good potential for change orders to come about, in which theoretically usually means more profit in my pocket.
You ever had a job where you haven't had a change order?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had jobs, you know. I've even had, you know, large-scale jobs, start to finish, go all the way through, and no change orders, everything worked like it's supposed to. And then I've had some small jobs that should be pretty simple and have 6, 7, 8 change orders on that one project. You know, a project may be, you know, $250,000 on my scope of work, end up being, you know, $350,000, $400,000 based off change orders.
Is there any sort of penalty for having a certain amount of change orders on a project?
Well, I'm not for sure.
Other than the monetary value.
Right, you know, I'm not sure about that. You know, if it is penalties, it goes on above me in my scope of work, because I'm contracted out to do X amount of dollars for this scope of work. And when things don't work like they're supposed to, and we have to make changes, then someone has to incur those costs and approve them. And so I never see that. You know, either I get approval and get a signed change order back, or they redesign and if my monetary amount is too much, then they may look at another redesign and try to figure out something else. Which there, again, you've got an owner that has a deadline to get this project in. These designs take time. These change orders take time to get designed and get approved. So you're delaying that project. In which most time you have liquidated damages on most projects. So they get pushback for the most part. But a lot of times it's not enough time. You know, they give you an extra 30 days. Well, it took 30 days to design. Well, here we are. We got, you know, 30 days more worth of work, but our 30 days are used up through the design phases.
What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, it's kind of a catch-22. Depends on who your owner is and who your engineer is. A lot of times you may go over your time limit, and they may bypass the liquidated damages. They may not charge you because they know it's their fault. They know it's been in design stages and it was withheld, you know, out of your control. And then you throw weather days on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, once a building or a project is dried in, you know, weather is kind of irrelevant, you know, for the most part. But when you're doing grade work and utility work, weather plays a big percentage in what work you can get done. If you've got a lot of bad weather, then you're going to have weather delays. So, and a lot of times, you know, they'll give you a certain percentage, you know, like 10 or 15%, you know, for weather delays. But you take changes on changes and plus weather, you know, it outweighs that by a great, great deal.
It must affect your backlog, too, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's not able to flush
it. Because, you know, you've got deadlines, and then you got scheduled to move on this other new project, you know, at a certain date, but you can't do it because your crew's tied up on a existing job because of changes.
It's going to affect future jobs every
yes.
time.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, we just wanted to give y'all a little heads up. You know, there is some stuff, you know, that you can run into, you know, as far as design. You know, just because you got an engineer or engineering firm, it doesn't also mean that they're going to have every answer, you know, to that project. You know, there's going to be changes that have to be made, and they're not always right. You know, they don't have the experience, you know, a lot of times in the field and can't really foresee how a job's going to go in. It looks good on paper, but it doesn't always look good in real life. But anyway, just want to give you all a little heads up on that. And we got Jeff G here with us tonight, our fourth partner. He's not always with us, and we're glad to have him, and hope to see him more in the future.